Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The city gateway, the household doors and festooned arches along the roads were all nicely decorated with festive signs like plantain trees and mango leaves, all to welcome the Lord. Flags, garlands and painted signs and slogans all combined to shade the sunshine. Purport. Signs of decoration in special festivals were also collected from the gifts of nature, such as the plantain trees, the mango trees, fruits and flowers. Mango trees, coconut palms and plantain trees are all still accepted as auspicious signs. The flags mentioned above were all painted with pictures of either Garuda or Hanuman, the two great servitors of the Lord. For devotees, such paintings and decorations are still adored, and the servitor of the Master is paid more respects for the satisfaction of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Malitanjena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutala Svayam Rupa Karam Mayam Darati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamstra. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sudhu Devi Pranamami Ari Priye Vancha Kalpatarvyuscha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patita Nam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sari Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I'd like to take the blessings of all the Vaishnavas seated here today. And hopefully I may say something that you can take home and put it into practice. Krishna's entrance into Dwarka, this is all social activities here. The whole thing is social entertainment, really. An example to show us how to live life in this material world. Sometimes we get stuck into thinking that only when we come to the temple and we do service here, it's called devotional service. But life is, our whole consciousness, our whole life is dovetailed around serving Krishna, because everything emanates from him. As Pramanava gave that class last week, he was saying, he was quoting Bhagavad Gita text 10.8, where Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarva pravatite iti mata bhujanti mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds, that everything emanates from me. And the wise who know this perform devotional service to me perfectly. With all doubts, right? Is that right? Yeah. I'm not very good with my memory, but somehow try. So there's nothing in this material world that doesn't belong to Krishna. Here, in this word, he's talking about big gates, the gateway. So this is a welcome to Krishna back home from Hastinapur. And you can see the pomp celebrations. Even when Lord Ram was coming back from his exile, the similar kind of thing was done. You know, the roads were paved with, you know, precious stones like diamonds and gold. And the ground was moistened with, you know, scented water, incense was burning everywhere. Same thing, similar kind of scene is happening. So why city gateway, the city big gates? Normally, the rich people, you will find them all with big, big gates in front of their houses and with like some kind of monuments Like, if you could see, like, you can tell the difference who's living in the house by what they have in front of the house. Like, normally Indians, they have, like, a big Ganesh on the door, or they would have lotus flower on the pillars, or something to that sort, pictures, whatever. And then I live in Radlett in this road called Loom Lane, and the houses are so huge, you have to go through a driveway to go to the house, and this huge gate with CC cameras everywhere. They're so scared of being, like, burgled, broken in. They have all these security. And Krishna in Dwarka had security. You might think, oh, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why would he have security? But he had hundreds of soldiers around, you know, the castles looking after the place. So you can see, like, whatever is happening in the spiritual world, Krishna performed his pastimes here in Dwarka. He had over 16,000 wives, and for each one of them, he had a palace, individual palace, and it was fully furnished with gold, diamonds, jewels, and the roads, the ample amounts of fruits, flowers, vegetation, everything was there. So it's explained that the householders here, it's like an example. He's setting an example how devotees should live their lives in the material world. Whether you're a householder, a sannyasi, or, you know, a vanaprastha, whatever the case may be, the consciousness behind it is the most important. It doesn't matter which vana you fall under, and you're following it. He's teaching this. One time in the Krishna book, Narada Muni was very, very inquisitive. He was wondering, how is it that this Krishna, he's got over 16,000 wives. How is he, like, micromanaging his household affairs with so many wives? So he decided to go and check. And Krishna, he displayed the most amazing example for us to see, for follow. And each place he went to, one palace he went to, he saw Rukmini. She's got thousands of maidservants, but she was fanning the Lord, you know, with a chamara. Then he went to another place. He saw Krishna sitting with his wife and Uddhava playing dice. Another palace he went, he saw Krishna playing with his children. Another palace, he saw Krishna marrying off his daughter. Another palace, accepting a daughter-in-law. So many palaces he went to, he saw Krishna performing all the, what we call, so-called mundane activities. Krishna was performing all these activities in these palaces. For us to have, like, a celebration, sometimes we talk about death day and not birthdays. We think, oh, birthday is, like, taboo. Devotees don't celebrate birthday. But I was listening to the 8th canto when Vamanadev appeared. It talked about birthday celebrations. Even in the Krishna book, it talks about birthday celebration. It's the consciousness behind what you're doing that's more important. You can have any celebrations, whatever celebration, it should be all dovetailed to serving Krishna. This is where we go wrong. Whatever we do, we have to be conscious. Prabhupada said, you have to be conscious first before you Krishna, before you become Krishna conscious. And service is joyfully performed. We have to be happy serving, you know, doing our service. We can't deprive ourselves and think if we perform this austerity or if we do this, you know, kill ourselves to become devotees. We have to be happy and serving. Of course, we have to try. There's no question. We have to try. Make an endeavor for the goal that we trying to achieve. But Krishna is actually setting the example here for us to follow. So, and then there were big arches. The arches and the gates were like, some didn't have gates, they had arches. And normally you have, like, beautiful plants growing around the arch. And come early spring or late spring, you see all these beautiful flowers and you're driving and you feel very happy. In the early spring or late spring, you see these avenue of trees blossoming. It lifts your heart. Anywhere around you go, you see natural beauty. You get enlivened. Now it's very difficult in the cities to find a little park and garden. People, office workers that are stuck in their offices, they're looking for somewhere to take their lunch, and they're looking for a little park or a garden where they'll get some sanctity, you know, for the day's work, because they have to go back to their office and be shut there. Prabhupada called it the some prison, he called it, I can't remember, like some kind of prison they are in this big office building. So people are looking to nature to, you know, be happy. And festivals are always celebrated. All festivals are celebrated. We can see how we spend, like on Janmashtami, we spend thousands and thousands of pounds to decorate the altar, to make nice flower arrangements, because it's explained that Krishna's flowers are actually Krishna's smile. They enliven, they, you know, make people happy. So these festivals are celebrated. Even amongst the Christians, among the, you know, so many other cultures, they also have festivals. And the Christians, they celebrate festival by putting a big, like, kind of flower ring or something on the door. They go and get Christmas tree. Ye is talking about banana plantations, and mangoes. So Christmas tree, they get Christmas tree and they put it in the house. There might be different, slight differences on what other cultures do, but the mood is the same, to have a festival to be happy. And everything is coming from Krishna anyway, whatever culture we belong to. You can see there's similarities within every culture. So, now the description of Dwarka is unbelievable. It's so unbelievable. It's in the Krishna book if you want to read it. But this auspicious, natural, valuable ingredients are coming from 5,000 years ago. From Krishna's time. Why is it auspicious? Why are we using it in today's life, the mango? Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Why are we still using them? Because they're actually connected to Krishna. I remember when I was little, I mean, this was South Africa, in Africa, in our back garden, we had mango trees, we had banana plantations, we had guavas. These are all auspicious sugarcane. All these things were growing in the backyard. Even though my parents were demigod worshippers, where did they get all these things to follow? It's coming down from, you know, time immemorial, from Krishna's time. So it's still being followed, and it's considered auspicious. Garlands, we make garlands every day. And, you know, painted signs. What are these painted signs? Every one of us, I'm sure, householders especially, we have pictures, you know, in our living room, in our kitchen, all over. We have pictures of some forms of deities, Radha Gokulananda, or deities from other temples. We have painted pictures, slogans, signs, or some writing, Sanskrit writing, some verses in the house to remind us, constantly to remind us about, you know, what the goal is and what our life is all about. In this, you know, in this path that we're treading. So, what is real wealth? Real wealth is not about real wealth. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it said lots of money. That's the meaning in the dictionary. Lots of money, property, worldly possessions. This is, you know, the description of wealth. But Krishna is all wealth. He possesses everything. An abundance of valuable products. What are the valuable products? It's not money. The valuable products is the loving relationships, very loving relationship that devotees have within themselves. The dairy food, you know, in regards to food, all the dairy products, all the fruits, the flowers, the vegetation, All these are valuable products. Cows, land, this is valuable products. Not like the factories that people go to work every day, or big, big houses, big, big cars. And it's explained that some people, some are so rich, some millionaires are so rich that they have like, they have, you know, beautiful, they have palaces as well. They have big, big palaces. They have private yachts, you know, and they sometimes have islands as well. They own an island on the beach, private beach. So this is their wealth. They call it their wealth. But the material world, once they, if they have a heart attack or they die, everything is finished. But Krishna's opulence, even the richest person in the world is not the owner of everything. Krishna owns everything. And it's their, Krishna's wealth is, their wealth is nothing compared to Krishna's wealth. So he is the possessor. He has six opulence. What are the six opulence? Fame, wealth, renunciation, beauty, knowledge, and strength. He possesses all six opulence. No one can come close to him. In the Brahma Samhita, it explains, Chintamani Prakarasadma Sukalpa Vriksha Laksha Vriteshu Surabhira Bipala Yantam Lakshmi Sahastra Satasam Brahma Sevyamanam Govinda Maripurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Chintamani, touchstone, you know, his abode is touchstone, all jewels, his throne is bedecked with precious jewels, diamonds, gold. So where is the comparison to our life in this material world? We are striving, we're striving to get there, but it's far from it. Everyone wants to be rich, everyone wants money, but the real source of happiness comes from within, satisfaction. You can have so much money, there's always fear of someone taking it away from you. And there's always, you have to go through so much struggle and hardship to put some security to that. One time we had like, in our temple ourselves, we had huge gates put, new gates. This probably was around 20, 25 years ago. Brand new gates, huge gates. And Prabhupada did say like, if you have a building, if you have to go through a long road, drive a little way to come to the building, it's auspicious sign, I don't know why. But imagine, so we had these big gates in the front. And it only lasted for about 3 days, 3 days a week. And then, once someone was coming in, it was empty, there was no gates left anymore. Because these gates looked so beautiful and so huge. And actually, we know who did it, but we don't want to mention any names. We have some nice neighbors around. So anyway, the gates disappeared. So this is how people are like eagerly waiting to have what you have. There's no question how, and they would go to so nasty means to get what you got. There's envy, jealousy, hatred, lust, greed. All these things are rife in this material world. And I think we in a very, very safe place. We have to appreciate, you know, every morning we get up, we have to thank our lucky stars for being where we are, because it's getting really, really nasty out there. So that gate disappeared. And then we thought, okay, this time we will put another gate, and we had a big sign of Hare Krishna Bhaktivedanta Manor. But sometimes even this, they can take the gate and pull the sign off. This is how it is. But that's what it did. So anyway, people are always looking, you know. So few pages back in 111.11, Prabhupada mentions about a planet just under Earth called Nagaloka. And we are so fortunate. I was looking at the comparison between Krishna's pastime and now. Are we struggling for existence, living? Everything was so perfect then. just below is this planet, and there it's explained that the sun's rays is hampered there. There's no sunshine. But due to Krishna's mercy, the darkness of the planet is removed by the flashes of light from the jewels of the serpents. Just like when Krishna was stealing butter, it was dark, but just by the effulgence of his body, he could see where the butter was kept when he was stealing. So these celestial serpents, they were called Nagas, and they didn't have much sunshine, but everything was beautiful. They had rivers, lakes, gardens, everything was there. It's beautifully, you know. But the opulence of Dwarka is like, you know, it's dazzling. It says that dazzling, I'll just read a little bit here about Dwarka. As the king of Dwarka with over 16,000 wives, each queen had her own palace full with invaluable jewels, diamonds and gold. Krishna had thousands of servants and soldiers, a wealth which was as dazzling as the brightness of the sun. So now we can compare the so-called wealth of the millionaires, billionaires, which is actually like the brightness of the insignificant firefly. Has anyone seen a firefly? Firefly. I saw firefly when I was in New Vrindavan. We were on the balcony and there's a big forest. In the night, it's dark and very dark. But in the forest, you can see these tiny sparks, just sparks of light coming out here and there. They're called fireflies. They haven't got a very long lifespan. So this is the comparison of, you know, Dwarka. And then... yeah, we talked about how material wealth is based on houses, factories, cars, and so the rich are called millionaires, and better still, when they top it up a little more, they become billionaires. So the palaces, we talked about all that. Even the richest person is not the owner of whatever, you know, he possesses in the material world. Real wealth means good loving relationship and natural products. Like you can see here in this verse, the relationship, the citizens of Dwarka here for Krishna and all the natural valuable products they are using from the land. So anything that now it's even like questionable what they sell in the supermarkets, what to speak, you know, of growing the food. We think the food is growing, you know, with love and devotion or natural products. And, you know, the flowers are actually grown from bone meal, you know, as fertilizer, they use bone meal. Sometimes I hate to go to the market. You know, the flower stallholders, they smoking there and they spitting. They're doing all sorts of things. And they have the stall and they're selling their flowers. And we have a huge garden here, huge garden. How pleased Krishna will be to use his own garden flowers, you know, from devotees that are growing them with love and devotion to serve him. So we should try our best to use what we have. You know, if we have a little garden, grow things there, offer it to the... That's what Prabhupada said. All you need is a little plot of land where you can cultivate a little grain, grow food, grow your own food, because we can see how contaminated life is becoming for the future. We can't eat. We think, oh, that's a nice fruit. There's so much artificial, like, chemicals are pumped into this fruit. There was a documentary not so long ago about how people, when they go to supermarkets, how they choose what they want to buy. There might be like a stall with all funny shapes and, you know, different colors or whatever, distorted looking fruits and vegetables in one stall. And the other stall might have everything like, you know, put in nice rows, beautiful shining apples, oranges, whatever, and perfectly made. Which would you see that's, you know, that's good enough to eat? You may think, oh, this is so beautiful. This, it's all artificially grown. It's all artificially pumped with chemicals. The skin is like waxed to get it all shiny, to make it attractive. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Whatever you think is nice, you think you have to buy. But external, don't be fooled by externals, you know. So it's 8:30. I think I'll stop there. If not, I'll go. If anyone has any questions.